Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What is up, Church by the Glades? Y'all are kind. Stop. Thank you. Thank you and cut it out. I've been saying all day long, this feels very backwards to me because you have been a joy. There's so many pastors that they spend all this time in the trenches just grinding it out because the church is difficult or reluctant to embrace the king and his commission, and you guys are just the opposites. You're a little crazy, and you're very passionate, but you've been passionate for those good things, and what a joy it's been for Lisa and I to be a little tiny piece, for Charlie, Victoria, and Zane to be a little piece of this. So for my family, thank you for the last two decades. And we're going to have fun next week. Next week's kind of like part two of the whole like 20-year craziness. And they got some awesome videos of me back in the day that are really embarrassing. So please come and laugh at your pastor next week. So I'll be speaking next week and want to talk about the future some, but it's kind of part two. We're going to make fun of all this. But guys, thank you so much. I want to get right to this weekend though, because this is just, it's been remarkable this weekend. Last night, today, I know at all of our campuses, whether you're at Fort Lauderdale, Sample Road, Lake Worth, give it up for our campuses, our prison campuses, DCI Homestead. A remarkable day here in the house of God, and I'm so blessed to have good friends in ministry who encourage us, and the Furticks are near the top of that list. Holly, I've said this every service, Lisa counts you as one of her dearest friends in the world, and the encouragement you bring to her, and the way that you guys just share life and love, when someone loves your wife, it's one of the greatest gifts someone can give you. So thank you for loving my wife so well. And then to have, you know, Elijah with us, and Graham with us, and Abby back there taking notes. Man, incredible notes on her dad's message. And then the one thing about Stephen, you know, Stephen is an author, and he writes music, and he is the lead pastor of Elevation Church based in Charlotte, North Carolina, campuses in many states. But Stephen doesn't just speak all over the world. He guards his time. He is a pastor first and gives up very few weekends. So Stephen, this is not a small thing for us. You would take a weekend away from your great church to be with us. Thank you. I've been saying this in my estimation, and you saw the shout out videos. We only bring in man ringers. I bring in people that can speak and throw down. Stephen's is the rarest anointing. I think he is God's unique person in this generation. He's that guy. And so Stephen, thank you for what you steward. Thank you for being here. It's been a flat out blast. Would you please welcome to the Church by the Glades stage one of my favorite preachers in the world, best people, Pastor Stephen Furtick.
Come on, let's give God a great shout of praise. How y'all doing? Greetings from Charlotte, North Carolina. Happy 20th anniversary, church. Don't sit down. I promise we'll sit down in just a moment. But let's give God praise for everything he's brought us through, for every mountain he brought us over. Let me ask you a question. How many of you had some seasons of your life that you didn't know how you were going to make it, if you were going to make it, but somehow, some way, by the grace of God, you're still standing? How many survivors are in the house? Tell somebody next to you, you look like a miracle. Tell the person on the other side of you, you look like you need a miracle. No. All right, let me look at you. You are handsome. You certainly are. You're very attractive. I don't know if you love the Lord, but you look good. How many of you love the Lord more than anything else in your life? Quick thing, Those of you in the back, the lighting's kind of weird. I'm going to trust that that you are very engaged and just as good looking as the people who I can see. It's a little dark up there for me to make it out, but so glad you're here today. Would you give about 20 hugs and then have your seat in honor of a 20-year anniversary? How many of you hate being hugged? God is working on you. He's working in your life. Hey, you may be seated. I just want to spend a few moments with you sharing a message from God's Word. David and Lisa, thank you all the people that you could have selected. You couldn't have found anybody who would feel more honored to share this weekend with you than me. You probably could find preachers who are smarter and who have more knowledge. But you won't find anybody who wants to be here more than me. What you mean to our family, what you mean to the kingdom of God is impossible to articulate. I'll not spend these moments trying because I know of all the things that I know about you. You're not about yourselves. You're about these people. And I'm going to honor your wishes today and preach to them. But I could spend this whole time talking about the gift that you are. There's a great need in this generation for pastors who know how to make the connection between culture and Christ and don't compromise in the middle. And so I'm very thankful for you. I know they already showed a video and you got the shout, and then Pastor David came up on the stage in the most, soothing pastor voice in all of America and said, "What is up, Church by the Glades?" And then you shouted there too. But I want us to give God one more great shout of praise for this amazing couple, this family, the Hughes family, the entire team at Church by the Glades. We honor you. We thank God for you. Now, y'all ready for this preaching? Can I preach like I'm at home in Charlotte? There's a story I want to share with you. It's an Old Testament story, and I'm just going to share the part of it that I think applies to us today. I don't want to waste your time at all by just offering my opinions today, but I believe there is a word from the Lord for each of us who have open hearts. And so this story that I'm sharing today, I think not only has relevance to the 20th anniversary of this church, but or of these pastors, but might have some relevance to right where you are today. And I asked the Lord who I was speaking to today, and he said, "I want you to talk to all of the people who are in the middle. So look at the person next to you and tell them, 'I'm in the middle of it.'" That's the title of my message, and my text is Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It's good to see my little bro Charlie Hughes on the front row. He is a good dresser. He is a rap fan, and he is a great young man of God. And I love you, man. I love Victoria, Zane. What's up, Abby? My daughter is just gonna be good, but we gotta get to it now. We don't have a lot of time. So let's do this. Joshua chapter 3, verse 17 says this: "The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan." Well, now that's a weird thing to do, because remember, they're crossing over into this promised land that God has been talking about for generations. And they've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're at the moment where they get to cross over into the land. And the Bible says that the priests stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan." There's that phrase again, from the middle or in the middle. I want you to take them up from right where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men together that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, hey, I know this is weird. I'm just telling you what God told me. Don't blame me. I'm just the middleman. God said that he wants us to stand here in the middle of the Jordan, and I know it's weird because God's cutting off the flow of the Jordan so we can pass through on dry ground, and I know that we've been waiting for this for a long time, but before we go forward, God said we got to stop here for a minute, and each of you got to take a stone out. Watch this. Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what's up with these stones y'all got all around here? Why are y'all saving rocks? This is like my kids asking me all the time. What's a CD? What's up with these stones? Why? When they ask you in the future, what do these stones mean? Tell them. I don't want you to be silent about the things I've done in your life. Tell them. The things I do in your life aren't just for you to sit on or, you know, make a stone collection. The reason that I've done certain things in your life, God says, is so that I can show you off as a trophy of my transformative power. I want to make your life a testimony. I want to show people that if I did it for you, I can do it for them. So I got to finish reading my scripture in a minute. But I just got to stop in the middle of reading the scripture and tell you something real quick. Don't ever be ashamed to tell people how far God has brought you from. And don't ever get prideful where you start acting like, you know, it was because you were so good or because you didn't make any mistakes. How many know if it hadn't been for the grace of God in your life, you wouldn't be breathing? So he says, tell them that these stones are like symbols, and tell them, verse 7, that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Do y'all have verse 8? Because I didn't read that in the last service, but this service is more spiritual and they want more Bible verses. So I'm gonna read it. If y'all have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over to their camp where they put them down. I'm in the middle of it. And that's the hardest place, I think, to really continue to persevere when things get difficult, is when you're in the middle of it. I am a parent of 3 children. I love parenting, mostly and occasionally. See, when I do that, there's this judgmental, awkward laugh that comes back. I try to speak like a real person in the pulpit. And honestly, to me, my concept a lot of times of parenting and the reality of parenting, they don't always match. I did this thing before I had kids. And, you know, even my concept of myself as a parent and what I should be and what I want to do and how I imagine myself handling certain things and then how I actually handle certain things is different. And I used to ask people who had raised kids and were a little bit older and all their kids were out the house to give me advice on parenting. And I would say, hey, if you could tell me one thing as a parent, what would it be? And they would say the wisest stuff, just really deep stuff, just really beautiful stuff and really poetic stuff. But they would say it and yet it would frustrate me when they would say it, because it's one thing for you to tell me what I should do as a parent, but did you do it? You know, treasure every moment. Did you? I got to meet a couple that's here in the church that's been here a couple years last night, and they had a 7-month-old baby or something like that, and I was like, oh, and all I could do is pray for them. And the reason that I didn't give them any advice, and the reason I didn't tell them, you know, treasure these moments in the middle of the night when your sleep is being stolen by these aliens that have invaded first your body and now your home. The reason I didn't go there is because, watch this, it's different when you're in it. And sometimes it's frustrating to get advice from people who have never been in it or aren't in it anymore. This is why I have a complicated relationship with Instagram, because sometimes people who have never preached think it's their ministry to critique the sermon. And I'm like, would you like the mic? Because I promise you this, if you held this mic for 5 minutes, you would be so much nicer to the preacher. You would pray for him. You would send him Red Lobster gift cards. You like Red Lobster? Lower the bar a little bit there. But watch this. It's different when you're in it. That's why married people should stop saying stupid, cute cliches to single people. Oh, well, you know, just to use this time to draw close to the Lord. You know. Because that's cute for you to say, but it's different when you're in it. Well, the Lord is just using this time to perfect you and prepare you for the one. See, that's not even logical. Because you're married and you weren't prepared. You were a dumpster fire when you got married. And now, come on. Now the prerequisite for marriage is preparation. Well, I'm grateful in this way that God sent his son wrapped in flesh, that he did not stand outside of the human condition, but entered into it so that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's crazy that this God who is above us, represented in the Old Testament story of Joshua in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, which symbolized his presence, that's where they would put the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. It's in the middle of the Jordan River. And that body of water is not big, but its symbolism is. It represents their transition into this territory that God has given them. And for us today, it might not represent the same thing. But we're all in transition. We're all in the middle of it. Sometimes it is a relational breakdown. Sometimes it's a career change that you didn't see coming. Sometimes it's a lifestyle adjustment or a shocking piece of news that you just found out from somebody you thought you could trust. And I didn't know what to preach. I thought this is a big day for David and Lisa and the whole church. And the Lord put it on my heart to speak to those who are in the middle of it. Now think about how weird this is, that you're crossing over and you stop in the middle, when you've waited so long to get to this place. There must be a deeper meaning. I notice usually that when God speaks something and it seems weird, the weird part of it is not what God said. The weird part of it is our ability to trust what he said. And it's difficult in the middle to believe what God spoke about the end when you were in the beginning. That was needlessly confusing. I'm gonna say it simpler. I know I said too many things and it got mixed up, but the idea that God is waiting at a certain place, that God is a God of destinations. You know, we're people of destination. We're constantly striving to get there. And there for each of us is a different place. There could be a certain age. There could be a certain status. There could be a certain neighborhood. There could be a certain accomplishment. There could be when I get this car paid off. There could be when I lose these 23 pounds. 23, exactly. I said it precisely. Michael Jordan, LeBron James. There could be. Here's the thing. When I started pastoring, I don't know if it was like this for you, Pastor David, I always thought that there was just around the next corner. And so at first it was like we had 18 people. So it's like, if we could ever have 100 people, that would be awesome. If we could ever get there, and then we had 100 people. But there's another church that has 1,000 people. So now there is not 100, there is 1,000. And so then we get there. And then it's 1,000 people. But, you know, what if we had 3,000 people? Then we'd be a mega church instead of a micro church. It's a mega church. Like, who defines that? Who gets to say that that is there? Like, now you're a valid pastor. Now you're making a difference, you know? Now, it's like you have these kids and you've like waited all your life to have them and then you get there. Or you've waited all your life to be married and now you're there. So let me ask you a question. Why does there not feel like it did when you were here? Here's why. I prayed about this, I thought about it, I studied about it, and I asked God, why does there not feel like there? Why does this not feel like that? Because when it was that, it felt different than this. Like, in other words, some of the things that you're complaining about in your life today are things that you prayed for God to give you yesterday. And here's what the Lord showed me, that when you get there, wherever there is in your mind, whether it's a certain place in your emotions or a certain place in your maturity, whether it's a certain goal that you have that's physical or whether it's something that involves other aspects, here's the revelation. When you get there, it's now here. So you're not there because now there is here. Okay. I promise this is going to make sense by the time I finish the sermon. I'm just in the middle of it right now. I'm in the middle of it. And that's the place, right? Like, it's great to shout for 20 years. But do you know how many times in those 20 years that the whole thing looked like it was going to fall apart? I mean, it's different when you're in it than when you're looking back on it. When we read this Bible story, like all the Bible stories, we know how they end. So we know that Joshua is going to go on to fight the Battle of Jericho and march around the walls, and they're going to fall on the seventh time. But check this out. Nobody that was marching around the walls knew that they were going to fall on the seventh day. So that means they had to show up and walk and walk and walk and walk and wonder, why are we walking around these walls? This is not working. Come on and be honest with me. Have you ever been walking and walking, but it's not working? And then I start to wonder, is it even really worth me coming to church? Because I'm walking and I'm trying to stay pure and I'm trying to do the right thing. And I'm trying to turn the other cheek. And I'm trying to pray about this. But right now, God, I don't feel you at all. And I don't understand this at all. This is weird. Can we be honest? Some of the things that God calls his people to do are weird. It is weird to walk around walls and then to blow trumpets at the walls. What am I doing? This is what God's doing. In those moments where you're feeling like this isn't working, when you're in the middle of it, God wants to know, will you trust me with the outcome while you're still in the process? That's where faith is built, in the middle. Somebody shout, in the middle. When your progress isn't obvious, when it seems like this is worthless, when you wonder, did they hear anything I said to them? Does any of it matter? Does anybody appreciate me? Did anybody notice? I've been standing out in this parking lot directing traffic at Church by the Glades for 6 months now. Nobody thanks me. Nobody thanks me. They make hand gestures toward me, but it's not a thank you hand gesture. Oh, in this parking lot, if you're going to work in this parking lot, you got to have real faith. It's crazy out there. It's a jungle out there. But if you're going to serve God, you're going to have the faith to make it in the middle. And see, what I noticed about this thing is that it's only weird until it works. I saw that on a beer commercial. It's in the Bible, and I saw it in a beer commercial. It's only weird until it works, because day one, nothing. Day two, nothing. Day three, nothing. Day four, nothing. Day five, nothing. Day six, I'm not sure about this new Joshua cat. Can we please get Moses back? No, Moses is dead. But day seven, when the walls fall down, when what God spoke comes into visibility, there's this unique ability that God gives certain people to worship him, not when you get there. Not when I have everything in my life like I want it. Not when I get the bills paid. Not when I get there. I want to confuse the devil and praise God not when I get there. I want to praise him in the middle of it. I want to give you 20 seconds, if you're in the middle of it right now, to praise God not for the result, but praise him because he's good in the middle of it. I'm going to put my mic down. See, the enemy's been telling you, when you get the promotion, then you can praise God. Or when you get through this addiction, then God can use you. But we don't serve a when-then God. We serve an even-now God. Can I preach a little bit? When Lazarus died in John chapter 11, the sisters of Lazarus came to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, if you would have been there, then you could have healed him. Jesus said, I didn't want to heal him. I wanted him to die. Why would you want him to die? Because I wanted you to see that even now, I'm not just the healer. I am the resurrection. I'm not going to do it like you thought I was going to do it. I'm going to do it in a way that you will know that it could only be me. So Joshua said, tell your children when they see these stones that each stone represents the story of God's salvation and his faithfulness, not what he did on the other side, but what he did in the middle. That's where all the good stuff is. It's in the middle. That's where Jesus died. I know you know how he died. They hung him on a cross and they executed him like a common criminal. I know you know why he died, that you heard that he died because he loves you and that he shed his blood to forgive your sins, and that's true. But on this particular occasion of the 20th anniversary of this church and for the season that you're in your life, take a moment and think about where he died. Not only on a hill called Calvary or Golgotha, the place of the skull, but the scripture says that on each side of Jesus on the day that he died was a thief. That means there was a criminal on one side, a criminal on the other. And Jesus, when he said it is finished, he said it in the middle. So that's how God sees your life. He says it is finished while you're still in the middle. Heather, I am preaching this sermon like it's my last one. Because somebody in this room today is in the middle of it. And to you, it feels like the end. And here's why it feels like the end. You have confused the scene with the story. It's easy to do because now we have stories on Instagram. But they're not really stories. That's not a representation of real life. You know that these are just carefully selected scenes. If I ever really did my Instagram account the way that I should do it, if I showed you between the scenes, if I sent the Christmas card of how the kids really acted other than for that 5 seconds that I got them to smile, If I showed you the scenes in between, but we don't usually see that in church, you know? Because this scene, for 58 minutes, we all come together and it looks a certain way. But I've been doing this for long enough, not 20 years, but 12 and a half years. I've been doing this long enough to know you're not there yet either. You're not there yet. And the person that had their hands lifted today next to you, they're not there yet either. And the person today who's saying amen and taking notes and all that, it's one thing for them to write it down. It's another thing to live it out. We're not there yet. In fact, I thought about asking David, can we change the name of the church? But I thought that was overstepping my bounds. I said, because it's Church by the Glades, I get that, but it's bigger than that. That's geographically the name of the church. Okay, call it that. Just so long as your people know that this is a church in the middle. It's a church that stands between where God is and where people are and brings the two together. Please don't give up on your story just because you don't like this scene. For 40 years, it looked like God was going to leave his people in the wilderness forever. And then came Joshua. Now, Joshua was a different kind of leader. He didn't ask the people, would it be cool with y'all if you got some stones out of the middle of the thing? Be okay? That's why I like David Hughes. He's got stones. You know what I mean by that? I'm using it kind of in two different, okay, you're churchy. Y'all are real churchy for this part of the country. Okay. It's a certain boldness that it takes, because it's one thing for a pastor to just talk about God in lofty terms. God is great. But then you got people who are down here that are like, yeah, God is great. I get that, but I'm not. And so what I've watched you do that's such a great example for me, and you set a lot of great examples, like if my biceps are bulging out of my t-shirt when I'm at year 20 like yours are today, I'll be happy. But I like how you bring the two together. It reminded me of Joshua. It reminded me of Jesus. I know that you want to lead like Jesus, and the reason that I think you're like Jesus is because of your humility. The reason I think you're like Jesus is because of your focus. But also, I think when God wanted to do a work in this area in 1998, when you stood and preached that first sermon and transitioned this ministry into this beautiful, amazing ministry that it is today. And I understand there are a lot of visitors here today, but you're walking into the middle of a move of God that many people sacrifice so much for. And what's sad is when people walk in the middle of a movie, they don't really know what it's about. And so you walk in today and you think, oh, this is a big, big church. It wasn't a big church. It was a couple that had the stones and the courage to say, we're going to reach people where they are. And if you're in the middle of the greatest mistake of your life or the greatest success of your life today, you're welcome in this place. You're in the middle of it. And to have a church that speaks to culture but does not compromise the message of Jesus Christ is exactly what this world needs today. What God is looking for is not someone who has arrived, but someone who's willing to move forward. And I told Abby I would do this illustration for her because it's her favorite illustration. And I hadn't got to do it in a while. And I know Charlie's going to come help me and Elijah's going to help me. And they're going to come to the stage right now, quickly. You know the illustration. You've seen me do it before, but I got to do it right now. And I didn't do it for any of the other services. And I'm not saying you're my favorite, but draw your own conclusions. Somebody shout in the middle. Every person in this room has a there. Charlie, you be there. If I could get there, if I could be that, If I could have those J's, if I could have that off-white t-shirt, sweatshirt that Pastor Stephen Furtick brought me because he loves me, if I could, there. And sometimes this feels so discouraging. This gap, Abby, this gap between who I am and who I think I need to be, between where I am and where I thought I would be. When I feel like this gap is so wide, when I feel like the difference between where I thought I would be at this point in my life and how I thought it would be, and that I thought I'd be over this by now, but I'm still in the middle of it after all these years, I thought it would feel different, I thought it would be different. When I'm in this gap of disappointment, those are the moments where I've got to look back at the second gap. And the second gap is what today is about. It's not the gap between where I am and where I want to be. It's the gap between where I am and where I used to be. So we came to celebrate this weekend and to declare to the devil and to hell and to every demon that I'm not where I want to be, and I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm not who I used to be, and I'm not where I used to be, and God is with me in the middle, and God is with me in this moment, and God is with me in this season, and God is with me in this disappointment, and I praise Him for who He is in the middle. Come on, if you're grateful, give Him a shout of praise. A great shout of praise. He inhabits the praises of His people. And He's with you in the middle. Pastor David and Lisa, would you join me on stage, please? Charlie and Elijah, would you sit down? He's with me in the middle. There's nothing more powerful that God has shown me, and I've only been doing this for 12 and a half years, and I'm only a young man. At least I think I am. My kids tell me sometimes that my dad's jokes say otherwise. My dad jokes are aging me, but I feel like I want to say something to them in front of you, and I hope that'll be okay for a moment. Just for a moment. And I ask everyone, even if this isn't your church, could you just stand right now with no one moving around? Because I think 20 years is a big deal. Very few pastors, very few leaders commit themselves to 20 years of ministry in one place. Everything you've been through, everything that you've walked with people through, everything that you've gone through that you've never mentioned, everything that we would know about, everything that we wouldn't know about. Every time you preached 5 and 6 and 7 services and then woke up and did it again, every time you drove a horse on the stage or whatever crazy thing you're thinking of doing next. Hey, if y'all just coming for the first time, I promise you, this is like the most normal this church is ever going to be. So you should come back and see, because next week they're going to have like reindeer and this would be great, circus and stuff. We want to thank you for being willing to be weird. We want to thank you for taking your stand in the middle, because you could just as easily just reach perfect people, or you could just as easily stand over here at 20 years and say, okay, it's been good, let's just run out the clock. But I was with him yesterday in a restaurant, and they had this aquarium of jellyfish in the restaurant. And my man wouldn't let us sit down and eat our meal because he was making a sermon series about the jellyfish. And I was like, can we eat? This is all they think about is you. They love you. When they speak of you, they do it with great, great joy. They never complain about you. For you to still love them and Jesus and each other and this and your family after these 20 years, I want to declare, and it's kind of cool because you're here and they're there and here I am in the... And I just want to say this. 20 years is amazing, but it's not the end. It's just the middle. If you believe the best is yet to come, put your hands together and give God praise in this place.
Thank you to Pastor Stephen one more time, if you would. And he has changed the message every time. He is so hyper gifted. His family is amazing. We love you guys so much. And he didn't end any service like this until this one. So thank you. Elise agrees. It's... You are a delight to pastor. You really are. We get colleagues that tell these stories about how ministry is tough, and it has those moments. But overall, as a church family, and as a movement of God, and as passionate people who believe in a king and are faithful to his commission, you are a joy to love and to lead. So we're thankful for the two decades. And listen, our heartbeat for 20 years has been this. Always one more.
That's right.
One more. That's why we build buildings and add campuses and do tons of services and jellyfish series, whatever it is. It's about one more. So maybe you're the one more. Maybe all this. God put all this together. God flew the Ferdix in from North Carolina, and God orchestrated this event just so you'd hear about this, you'd show up, and you're here without the confidence that you have a personal relationship with God, that you're saved, that you're forgiven, that you're part of his forever family. You can nail that down. So all this is for you. It'd be our greatest joy for you to make that connection today. And at every campus, the easiest way to do that, I'm going to say amen, pray us out. And then please, for the rest of you, move your car as quickly as possible. I need your parking space. And come back next week. But if you don't know for certain that you are saved and forgiven and know this Jesus that Stephen so eloquently preached about, there'll be prayer partners right now coming to the edge of the stage. Just take 10 minutes and find them. Let them show you some amazing promises in God's word. And this day, you're the one. This is all for you and God. You're the one. Father God, I pray for someone, a man, a woman, a teen, a boy or girl. They don't have that confidence. They know you, Father God, through this Jesus who died in the middle. They'd come today. Give them resolve. Give them courage. Give them a reckless boldness and bring them. Father, for the rest of us, thank you for the joy of being your church. Thank you for this great word as the church said together in unity. Amen. We'll see you next week at Church by the Glades. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.